Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, but who's got time for it?
I know I don't.
Well, yeah, I don't have time to read recaps either.
Yeah, I don't have time for that shit, man. Yeah. I'll tell you what I do have time for, man. It's going to be about time for me to go. I'm going to tell you.
Whoa!
Whoa, dude, you can't say that. I keep it real, man, dude. This is straight from the heart.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Earning that explicit token this time.
This is going to be the most realist episode we've ever done.
I'm Jafar.
And I am Ben.
And I'm Victor.
And we are coming back to you with our third episode, recapping SG-1, because there's 10 freaking seasons. But I will say, we do not have the gatekeeper Angela with us, but I do have a guest for us today. He's not going to say a whole lot because, well, he's made out of plastic. But I'm showing this to our friends at home. I was at a comic book store with my son after we got haircuts, and they had their random assortment of vintage action figures, and I got the Horus Palace Guard Stargate action figure from the original Stargate film. It even says, hey, watch, get the Stargate video game from Acclaim. That is the game that came out on the NES.
Not even the SNES, the original NES.
And while I am here with my plastic Jaffa, I am also here with a sleeve full of Jaffa cakes.
Oh, I forgot to get my Jaffa cakes.
And Angela, I pronounced it correctly this time, so I hope you're happy.
Now, is that the strawberry or is it the orange?
This is the orange.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm amazed that you guys discovered strawberry Jaffa cakes, because I was only aware of the orange ones. Ah, damn, I even found a local Aldi that I could drop by, but oh well. Next time we'll do it. I'll bring some Jaffa cakes for myself.
We have one more episode of Stargate after this.
Oh, we do. Yes, I forgot about that.
Knock on wood, just one more episode of Stargate after this.
Well, we're just going to plow through these guys.
Yeah. So. But this episode should be the episode that determines the future of Last Time On.
Yes.
Who's going to do what next season? Because I forgot to add up my total.
Well,
here,
we still have a bunch more predictions that we're going to have to verify still. Yep. So don't worry about that. Just mark them off as we go. And any that are left, we'll take a little break in the episode and do the research and figure out and finalize our point scores.
And then we'll know who's watching.
Viper. Yeah, I've got only four left that are pending. I've through between the lab and independent research, I've confirmed no on the rest of my predictions.
I have 10 pending at the moment. Part of it is I was about to ask Angela to verify three of them from my season 6 predictions right when we lost her when we were recording last episode.
Yeah.
So I am behind the rest of the group as well.
Yeah, I haven't heard from her today. I think she's still at Renaissance Festival rehearsal. So
no worries.
It's going to be late, but
we'll just send her the list.
Yeah.
Yep. Or we'll just independently verify if we can't get a hold of her before the end of the episode. No worries.
No worries.
All right. Well, season 7. Let's get this going. We've got a lot to get through. We've got four seasons of TV to read episode descriptions of. So we're just going to start right here, season 7, episode 1, Fallen. Daniel is found living in Vis Urban, which translates to Place of Great Power, a planet where the agents began building their greatest city when they were struck by a plague. Although Daniel has total amnesia, he helps SG-1 destroy Anubis's super weapon.
Ah, the Anubis super weapon.
After that, with knowledge of Nequandria, Anubis attacks Kiwana, and SG-1 must come up with a plan to save them. We saw this one.
Yep.
Meanwhile, on Anubis' ship, Daniel attempts to rescue Jonas. After this, O'Neill wakes up one morning to find himself 30 years younger, much to the annoyance of the colonel. It is soon learned that the same process caused him to become younger is also causing him to die. The rest of SG-1 discovers the young O'Neill is a clone and that an Asgard is responsible.
Okay. Interesting.
That's probably a fun episode.
30 years.
So Jafar would be in his mid-50s.
Ha-ha. After this, Teal'c is shot by a Jaffa as they retreat through the gate, and his self-confidence is greatly wounded.
like his butt, because he got shot.
Yeah, that's actually the name of his ass cheeks. One is self, and the other is confidence. Meanwhile, Daniel remembers that Ryak and Braktak are held prisoner on the planet Erebus.
Who and who?
Jaffa prisoners of war must build Haktak ships. Teal'c must regain his confidence if they are to be saved.
Shut the fuck up. This sounds like an after-school special.
It's how Teal'c got his groove back. He goes off, he bangs Tay Diggs, and comes back.
It helps, banging Tay Diggs. After this, we go to the planet Mangmar, which has a toxic atmosphere, but there is a force field dome protecting an idyllic village. That is, idyllic except for the fact that the inhabitants are disappearing one by one without noticing it themselves.
While exploring
another planet, SG-1 encounters the crashed alien ship Stromos. Ooh, that's a little too close for me to be comfortable with the rest of this. Containing a plethora of cryogenic pods. The team separates, and Daniel's mind becomes host to many different minds of the ship's crew. When SG-1 investigates the alien ship to find a way to cure Daniel, they discover that the minds of the passengers from the planet Talthus are being saved in the ship's computer.
You thought this was going to be alien.
Yeah. That's exactly one of your... Oh, I think we already confirmed that prediction.
That he gets... He got his memories plus more memories. Yeah.
Yeah.
So many memories.
Can't you remember anything?
I remember the Alamo.
Now. After this, Enemy Mine. That's the name of a TNG episode.
That's true.
That's also the name of one of a movie with Lou Gossett Jr.
Yes.
Damn, that other guy.
Yeah.
Let me look it up. Continue reading. I'll look it up.
SGC has found a planet with rich deposits of Nequanda, but
Dennis
the local population. But the local population of Unas do not welcome the mining team. Daniel enlists his Unas friend Shaka to negotiate an agreement.
Shaka!
After this, Carter helps the Sarakan Warwick from season 6's Forsaken to enter his spaceship in a dangerous race on his planet Herbdron. The prize is a lucrative contract. Oh, Angela told us about this episode. This is space race.
Oh, right, yeah, the space, yeah.
Carter and Warwick must overcome sabotage caused by one of the participants. After this, Felger from the Lower Decks episode last season is about to be fired and is desperate to persuade General Hammond to give him another chance. He invents a computer virus to deactivate a Stargate and targets one of Ball's principal Nequandra mining sites to test out the virus. However, the virus spreads on its own and the entire network is shut down.
And that's Dr. Felgar is Harold from the Red Green Show.
Yes. After this, SG-1 meet a group of all-female Jaffa from the planet named Haktal, meaning liberation, who have set up their own rebel base. They were rebels against the Gould Moloch, who forced the Jaffa to sacrifice their female babies in fire. Many of these female Jaffa were rescued as infants by their leader, Ishta, played by Jolene Balok.
It's a poll from Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I am 90% sure this is, I think it was you, Jafar, who had the prediction about the needlessly horny episode.
might have. I don't remember saying that this time, but that is a common prediction of mine.
Yeah. Early.
It's a sci-fi show from the 90s to mid-aughts.
Yeah.
It's too horny.
With a planet of women with Jolene Blaylock as their leader, it's needlessly horny.
After this, we get a two-parter in Evolution. Teal and Braktak are attacked by a black armored warrior, impervious to all known weapons, who is found to be an advanced Gould warrior created by Anubis. Daniel visits Honduras to find a hidden artifact, which may be the key to defeating them. And this
old cocaine.
This is not like Planet Honduras. This is just
actual Honduras.
And I'm going to make an assumption here. That is the same armor that we see Vala wearing.
Just thinking that same
I'm
thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Part 2, O'Neill goes to Honduras to rescue Daniel Jackson. In the meantime, Carter, Jacob, and Teal'c must destroy the facility on the planet Tartarus, where Anubis is creating legions of new warriors using a Gould queen to spawn new symbiotes.
And it makes your teeth decay.
Tartarus. Oh, I was thinking Tartar like catfish. Like it's an army of catfish soldiers.
After this, Carter is on the Prometheus while the ship is on its way to Earth. It is attacked from a spaceship of a type they have never seen before. They try to escape by hiding in a nebula, but all the crew except Carter disappear. After this, Jonas Quinn returns to Earth from Corona. Hey, that's a point for me.
Wait.
Does he get eaten by a whale?
Jonas Quinn returns to Earth from Kwana to enlist the SGC's help. He informs them that the Nequandria was created in a catalytic reaction and the process is ongoing in Kwana. If the reaction goes deep enough, heat and pressure will destabilize and it will blow the planet apart. Meanwhile, Jonas has been working with a brilliant young scientist, Kiana, and have a mutual romantic attraction, but she is not what she seems.
That is why Jonas goes on an awkward date.
Yeah. What the fuck is up with Jonas's planet, man? They're always in trouble, dude.
At this point, just let him blow up.
Civil war. It's like, I'm fucking tired of your planet's problems, dude. Why you
only calling us when you got your dramas? After this, Osiris has been visiting Daniel at night and using a mind control device to try and find the lost city of the ancients. SG-1 decides to attempt to capture her. However, Carter's new boyfriend, Pete, might get in the way.
I want to imagine that that's like, Pete has no idea what's going on, and she's just like wandering into the middle of like a complete firefight, just Mr. Beaning around.
After this, we've got Death Knell. The Alpha Site, where a prototype weapon to fight Anubis's super soldier drones is being created, is attacked by a drone. Carter escapes, but she is on her own, and the drone is hunting her.
Mm.
Then we get Heroes Part 1 and Part 2. We watched Part 2. The description for Heroes Part 1 is not helpful. A film crew arrive at SGC to make a documentary, but find their welcome is less than enthusiastic. That's all we get. And then we know Heroes Part 2 because we watched it. When the film crew continues to make their documentary, help is sent to rescue an SG member who was unable to get to the gate. However, on that mission, a member of the SGC is killed.
Well, Jafar, this is missing the first part of Heroes, where we know they end up on an aquatic planet where they have to find out where they wish they could swim, like the dolphins. The dolphins can swim. Though nothing will keep us together. We can beat them forever and ever.
Yeah.
Of course. We can be heroes.
Just for one day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that song by the Wallflowers, right? Anyways.
Just a point of trivia, I just went ahead and looked it up. Carter's boyfriend, Pete?
Pete.
Yeah.
A big cat person.
So tell me, Goof, is that kid of yours still giving you guff?
Ooh, I don't know what's wrong. Just seems like everything I try only drives Max further away.
He's played by David DeLuise.
Huh.
Who I'm better look this up before I speak out my ass.
Is one of the DeLuise brothers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because on the wiki it says people also...
His dad is Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's like, others like you also viewed, Pete David DeLuise, Dom DeLuise. So it's like, what? Anyway, yeah.
All right. Sorry,
he was also in Pup Star World Tour.
I'm a huge Dom DeLuise fan, but I didn't know he had kids. So I guess I'm not.
You know Dom DeLuise, you know there's kids everywhere.
Yeah, it must be.
Okay, after this, SGC find a rogue NID operation which has been attempting to mix the DNA of humans and Gould, but all the agents except one have been killed. The name of that episode is Resurrection. I've got questions that aren't answered in this description. After this, we get another clip show episode, an inauguration. A new president has been elected and must be briefed on the Stargate program. However, as usual, the new Vice President Kinsey has his own agenda. I know that this is a clip show because the excerpts written by is like 12 names long.
And Kinsey was the senator that Robert Picardo worked for. So we know it's going to be a pain in the butt.
Yep. Senator Kinsey, played by RoboCop and
Peter Weller.
No, the bad guy in RoboCop. Also Captain Calico.
Kurtwood Smith.
No, Ronnie Cox.
That's okay. The other bad guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, Kurtwood Smith was totally the bad guy. He shot RoboCop with a bunch of guns. And he said,
bitches leave.
Like,
I'm dropping that in. I love that.
It's just like, this is Red Foreman. Why is he so crazy? Why is he pulling a pin out of a grenade with his tongue?
I need to rewatch RoboCop.
Hell yeah.
Oh, RoboCop's so good.
Oh, Kurtwood Smith, both of you guys
is also the bad guy in the first episode of the Magnificent Seven TV show.
There's a Magnificent Seven TV show. Wow.
Yes, and it's very good.
I think I know a lot about TV
and Voyager, where he's in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I think I know a lot about TV and movies until I hang out with you guys. So.
You do, though. There's so much to know.
Yeah.
That no one can be. No one can be all-knowing.
See, we've formed the Triforce, and it's complete. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then we have the season finale two-parter for Season 7, Lost City. The SGC attack locates a repository of knowledge when Anubis attacks. O'Neill downloads their knowledge into his brain again. Finally, Bractac warns SG-1 that Anubis plans on attacking Earth. After this, Hammond is replaced by Dr. Elizabeth Weir. As Anubis' fleet arrives, SG-1 flees to Prochlorush Tawonis, a planet with an ancient outpost and a ZPM. There, SG-1 learns that what they are searching for has been back on Earth the entire time.
And your host, me. I've been here the whole time.
O'Neill is able to destroy Anubis' fleet using an ancient weapon buried beneath Antarctica, but the aftermath of the battle reveals a grim situation.
Mm.
And that's Season 7.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, so far my four.
I got my three from Season 6. If we just want to read them off real quick. There's an episode with zombies, there's an episode with vampires, there's an episode with the Loch Ness Monster, all still standing. And then we had two episodes in Season 7 for predictions, so there's another six there. My unconfirmed are Gundams, y'all, boxing episode, Dr. Frasier returns-ish, and aliens reveal themselves to Earth populace before the Stargates are revealed to the general populace.
Okay, I feel like we'll get, if any of those do happen, they have to be mentioned in the wiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've just got the Prometheus blows up, which I'm 90% sure it does. There's a universe destroyer. There's an It's All a Dream episode, and Teal'c's son betrays him. So those are the only ones I have left.
All right.
It's all riding on this.
Yeah. The only thing I'm curious about is we know Dr. Frasier died in this season. I don't know. So my prediction was we get new doctors, but nobody who lasts out the rest of the show.
Yeah, well, doctor die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is inherently true because they couldn't last the rest of the show.
Yeah. Give yourself points for that one.
I'm willing to give
it. I thought so, but they also reference Dr. Lamb back at base. I'm like, are we just getting a one-off doctor for this one episode? But if you're saying I can get the point, I'll take the point.
All yours, yeah. Because in the Freddy Krueger episode where no one could go to sleep or they'd die.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had at least one new doctor in that one. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's jump on to season 8. So we start with
Neo Joe.
So we start with the New Order. Three system lords meet with the SGC after their defeat of Anubis. Carter is abducted by Fifth. The Asgard's new homeworld, Orilla, is endangered. O'Neill, with the help of the Asgard, is awakened and helps the Asgard fight with the replicators using the knowledge of the ancients that's still downloaded in his mind. Major Carter is released by Fifth. Jack is promoted to Brigadier General and replaces Weir as commander of the SGC. Okay, an outbreak of disease is in fact the effect of possession by the ethereal remains of Anubis. Escapes the SGC through the Stargate, though Carter alters his destination to a frozen, barren planet.
What the hell?
And then, when SGC-1 goes missing, Ball demands a ransom. After giving the SGC a booby-trapped ZPM, Camulus makes a deal to return to Ball on an assassination mission.
Ooh.
Ooh. And then, Tegulus is a world divided between two nations in a Cold War. The Rand Protectorate and the Caledonian Federation, both of which possess a large arsenal of ballistic missiles.
Did you say the Rand Protectorate?
Yes.
Sure did.
R-A-N-D?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm not touching that. Okay, sorry. Continue.
No, they work for the Iron Fist. Danny Rand. He's Iron Fist.
Sorry. It's
I hope it's that. Otherwise, Atlas is going to be doing a lot more than shrugging. I've gotten to make that joke on two podcasts now.
Hey, all right.
It's the best one.
I mean, this episode is called The Fountainhead.
No, it's
called it's Icon. Not,
no. you got me.
When SGC sends a Malp to Tegulus, religious fanatics who still worship the Gould start a short-lived coup d'etat in the Rand Protectorate, triggering a war. Avatar? Teal'c is trapped in a virtual reality training machine where he becomes the ultimate bender. No, where he delivers electrical shocks when he fails his objectives. Daniel enters the game in an attempt to save Teal'c from cardiac arrest, and together they fight against the increasing difficulty of the game.
God,
so we do have
it.
Trapped in a video game episode.
Yeah, I should have made a prediction for that. That's totally a trope I forgot about. When you die in the game, you die in real life. I've done that so many times and so many things.
Yeah. Here's the point for you, Ben. Go ahead and read it.
All right. Teal'c moves into an off-base apartment where he becomes involved with his neighbor, Krista, who has an abusive boyfriend. Teal'c is accused of murdering the boyfriend, and Daniel disappears while trying to prove Teal'c is innocent.
Wow. Oh, my God. Okay, cool. I think I already gave myself...
one that we confirmed at some point.
Yeah, I think so.
That's awesome, yeah.
All right, and then Alec Coulson, the powerful leader of an aerospace and biotech conglomerate, holds a press conference to announce that aliens exist, that they have already attacked Earth once, and that several governments are aware of this fact. Coulson gives the governments involved 24 hours to tell us the truth. When the time expires, he shows a living Asgardian alien to the media.
Ooh, that counts. If he actually showed it to the media, that's your...
The alien. Yeah, the alien is revealed before the Stargates. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take it.
Ooh, it's getting close.
All right. And then Ryak plans to marry a woman of the Haktil, which makes Teal'c angry. Ishta brings the Haktil to SGC because they believe that the location has been compromised. Carter attempts to find a suitable planet for them. The Gould Moloch captures Ishta on a planet named Goronak. Ultimately, Moloch is killed by missiles from the SGC, but his forces are taken over by Baal.
Well, that's random. So I didn't know the SGC could just launch missiles at people.
I mean, it's the Air Force. It's what they do.
Yeah.
That's their number one thing.
Yep.
They fly planes and launch missiles.
Yep.
Sometimes they launch missiles from the planes.
That's true. And then, having recently acquired a Tok'ra symbiote poison. The Trust steal the Stargate. They steal the Stargate and start using it to launch symbiote poison attacks against Gould-occupied planets, killing thousands of Jaffa in the process. Cut off from Earth, Teal'c arranges to be captured by undercover Tok'ra on a planet to find out if the Tok'ra are behind these attacks. The Trust captures Carter and brings her aboard the Alakesh where the Stargate is, but she's rescued by Daniel and Teal'c, who beam aboard and use the Stargate respectively. SG-1 and the Stargate are beamed aboard the Prometheus, and the measures are taken to ensure it never happens again, but the Trust escapes. And then, Repla Carter informs the SGC that Fifth has made all replicators immune to O'Neill's disruptors, and promises to help them modify the weapon. In fact, her presence was needed to develop immunity. She destroys Fifth and escapes to lead the replicators.
This is actually Replica Carter. That's hilarious.
Yep.
Yep.
And then the crew of the Prometheus are incapacitated and removed, except Daniel, when it is hijacked by Vala, a pirate. Vala wishes to trade the ship for Naquita, but Daniel succeeds in retaking control of the ship with the help of the crew and an Alkesh, fends off the Gould attack that leaves the Prometheus too badly damaged to finish the mission. Vala ultimately escapes in the end. We'll never see her again. SG-1 finds that Harry Mayborn has become king of a planet where he took forced retirement. The planet is now under Gould threat, but Mayborn has found writings by a time-traveling ancient that prophesy SG-1 will defeat the Gould Ares. Ares? That's new. Ares sends Jaffa. Did they run out of Egyptian gods? Ares sends Fa to the planet and comes in his mothership. But his forces are defeated by Daniel and Teal'c, and his mothership destroyed by O'Neill with the traveling puddle jumper's weapons. Afterwards, Mayborn decides to remain on the planet with his people and his wives. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Puddle jumper?
Yeah.
Puddle jumper is capitalized.
Yes.
And the way it's using that sentence implies that that's the name of a character.
Or it's the name of the ship.
Yeah,
I guess it's the name of the ship.
Well, could be either, because, I mean...
A puddle jumper is the name of a type of plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tiny little... One of the tiny little planes.
It's a tiny little plane that can land in... able to land in lakes.
But after island hop to refuel, old Lucy Goosey here only has a range of about 1,000 nautical miles.
Yeah, making it wildly impractical. Got it.
This plane is totally practical.
Well, maybe for the ridiculous image you're trying to cultivate for yourself.
What image?
Sky Captain of yesteryear.
Yeah. I know the actual technical term for this because I used to work in an airport when I was a teenager, but goddamn. Don't do drugs, kids. It ruins your memory. So.
Hey, don't tell me what to do. And then Russia and the United States reach DEFCON 1 because the Gould have compromised both governments via the Trust, which has been entirely assimilated. The war is now narrowly avoided when O'Neill convinces the Russian president of the truth and the Trust ship is destroyed by Prometheus. But the fate of Robert Kinsey is left unknown, as he may or may not have been on the ship when it was destroyed.
Dun, dun, dun. You're fired!
All right. And then, an Indiana barber who carries the ATA gene has his life ruined through an ancient device. He begins to have visions of SG-1's missions. His life is given back to him, and O'Neill informs him and his nearly divorced wife of what has been going on. So he starts seeing the episodes, and he has to tell his wife, who's about to leave him for being crazy, like, nah, we're actually doing this. All right. Then we have a two-parter, Reckoning Part 1 and Part 2. Teal'c is preparing the Jaffa Rebellion to capture the holy planet of Dakara, where the first larval Gould implantation took place. Daniel is abducted by Repla Carter so she can discover the location of the Dakara superweapon in his subconscious. Ball also moves his forces to Dakara by the order of Anubis. And then, struggling with Repla Carter, Daniel halts the replicators long enough for Samantha Carter, Jacob Carter, and Ball to use the combination of the device that dials every Stargate in the galaxy and Dakara superweapon to destroy all replicators. Repla Carter kills Daniel Jackson.
Again?
Again!
Man, I'm just amazed that Replicator is a more than one episode character.
I love it. I hope it's like just Carter, but with like one piece of like wiring. All right. Threads. The SG-1 goes out and gets some new kicks. No. Daniel Jackson must choose death or a powerless ascension, while Anubis plans to end all life in the galaxy using the Takara superweapon. Just the galaxy, not the universe. Sorry.
Oh, damn.
Until so Oma Desala stops him. Jacob Carter and Selmac are in trouble. Daniel is returned to human form on Earth. And then we get Mobius Part 1 and Part 2. Alas, Mobius, not Morbius. It is not Morbin time.
It's not Morbin time.
All right.
No Morbins.
SG-1 uses an ancient puddle jumper to travel back in time to ancient Egypt and recover a ZPM. However, they cause Ra to take the Stargate at Giza with him when he leaves Earth, stranding the team in an alternate and altering the future so that SGC doesn't exist.
Oh, man, that was like two of my predictions in one.
Yep.
That's awesome.
An alternate reality, SG-1 must go back in time and fix the past to save the future. In the process, the team must re-recruit Teal'c and find the real Daniel Jackson, who is still in ancient Egypt. Alternate timeline, O'Neill and Carter express their love.
What?
I guess that means we don't have any more Pete. He's just so off having adventures.
Alternate reality.
He's so, back having adventures with Goofy. All right, and that is the end of season 8.
Is it, okay, we just kind of glossed over ancient puddle jumper.
So it's a type of ship from the ancients.
Yeah,
based off that context.
That's fascinating.
All right,
all right.
Vic. All my season 8 predictions are already set.
Yep, all mine are still up in the air. Damn it. Oh, well. Season 9?
Yep.
Season 9. Scroll. That comes after 8, right?
Okay, that is correct.
So that's well, God, just making sure we didn't switch to base 12 or something.
8 not would today. Still come after...
Oh, shut up, man!
Only if we moved to base 7.
Ah,
be a problem.
So, Avalon Part 1. Lieutenant Colonel Cameron Mitchell returns from the Farscape Project. He is recruited by the SGC as leader of SG-1, but finds the original SG-1 has disbanded. He is seeking a way to bring them back together when Vala Maldoran arrives with an artifact which could reveal an ancient treasure.
She's stealing swag! Points!
He decides this is his opportunity to reunite the team. Okay. Then Avalon Part 2. After passing all of the tests found in Avalon, the makeshift SG-1 discovers the treasure along with an ancient long-range communication device. Hoping to find actual ancients, Daniel and Vala are given control of the bodies of two people in a distant galaxy, although it's not what they expected. That's the description. Avalon. Isn't that a King Arthur thing?
Yes.
Yeah, so, okay. All right, that explains something. That explains the, yeah. Okay, episode 3, Origin. When Daniel and Vala follow a mysterious man to find answers to their question, they discover the Ori. Ah! The Ori, like the ancients, are ascended beings, but evil. And feel the need to be worshipped.
So, Lone Star, now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
They have no rules to restrict themselves. Unknowingly, Daniel and Vala reveal that life in our galaxy was created by their long-forgotten enemies. Ooh! They begin to send their missionaries, the Priors, through the Stargate. The first planet visited by a Prior in the Milky Way is P3, whatever, and the SGC pays him a visit. And then, hoping to disconnect the Cormac bracelets, effects keeping them linked, Daniel, Teal'c, Mitchell, and Vala try to pry the information out of the person she stole them from in the first place. When he wants something in return, they discover that his request isn't so easy to complete, and they must go on a series of quest to please his demands. He has side quests for them.
Side quest episode.
Nice. And then, in order to steer the planet P8X, whatever, away from Origin, SG-1 is tricked by Vala into going to the planet she previously ruled as a Goa'uld. What? Vala used to rule a planet? Okay.
She said that in the one episode where we met her.
Did she?
I mean, we didn't know if we were to believe her, but she did say it.
The inhabitants of the planet know nothing of the downfall of the parasites, and they believe Vala is still their goddess. Ah, that was one of my predictions. An SG-1 is mistaken for a god. Awesome. Until a prior shows up and attempts to expose her for who she is. Nice. And then Samantha Carter returns to the SGC when the Ori sees control of a planet named Kalana as a foothold in the Milky Way galaxy. Oh, we saw this one. After several attempts to halt the process, they discover that they have been helping the Ori achieve their goal instead of foiling their efforts. The Ori have been building an enormous stargate to allow their ships to enter the Milky Way, but are stopped by Vala, who dies in the process, although there is a possibility she got trapped in the Ori galaxy. And then, next episode is titled Ex Du Machina. I don't know if that's on purpose or a title.
Ex Deus Machina.
Damn it, I've been saying everything wrong my whole life. Okay. Are you sure? It's Ex Du Machina. Okay, all right.
Yes, because it's a play on Deus Ex Machina.
Deus Ex. I could have sworn some people say Du Ex Machina. Yeah.
If they do, they're saying it wrong.
Listeners, jump on our Discord to debate this.
For those of you who don't know, Deus Ex Machina is Machine of the Gods. It's when it's a thing in ancient Greek plays where it's just and then. The gods fix everything.
Yeah. So it's kind of shorthand for when something suddenly appears in the plot to solve all of the problems.
Okay, so Ex Deus Machina. After Baal contacts Stargate Command, they learn he has been living on Earth for several months as the head of a major corporation. He demands that he is allowed to... I was going to say Tesla. He demands that he is allowed to live in peace or he will blow up a Naquadria bomb somewhere in America. Yet Garrick is determined to capture him and takes a less subtle route. Subtle is in air quotes here. The bomb proves impossible to disarm, so Prometheus beams it into space where it detonates harmlessly, but Baal escapes with many clones at his disposal. his many clones at his disposal.
And he carries them with him in a large bag. His Baal sack.
He carries a bag of clones?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, we had a good podcast, everyone. I know it seems like a weird time to end a podcast, but I think we're all in agreement that it's done now.
Nice. But before we go, a group of legendary Jaffa attacks SG-1. Okay, so these are legendary Jaffa. That means they have the gold plating around them. They're not rare. They're not uncommon. These are legendary.
They're mint condition in box. I'm waving my Horus guard at the camera. If you can't
action figure. That is the coolest thing ever. And I was amazed when you should be proud of that. That's awesome. Yeah, the group of legendary Jaffa attacks SG-1 on a planet designated P9G whatever and captures Mitchell. While the rest of the team is forced to retreat, Mitchell is accused of killing one of the Jaffa.
They kill lots of Jaffa.
Yeah. As a punishment, he must square off against the slain Jaffa's brother, but he could be Mitchell's salvation. Well, that leaves a lot out. So that's it's like accused of killing one Jaffa. Well, it's like if they're attacking you and you attack back, how are you accused of whatever? So all right, moving on. SG-1 finds a man frozen in ancient stasis on P3X whatever and brings him back to the SGC to find out his story. But when Daniel researches the laboratory where the man was found, he discovers that he was grown by Anubis to be a genetically advanced human. And this next episode is titled The Fourth Horseman, Part 1. When a disease breaks out across America, evidence leads it to be the Ori's doing. Preparing to track down a viable cure, an old friend, Orlin, takes on an unfamiliar human form to help out, but it might not be enough when the team's adverse ally joins the Ori.
Betrayal! You have betrayed the Dark Brotherhood. Why?
Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. Fourth Horseman Part 2. When Orlin is working on a cure for the Prior Plague, Mitchell and Daniel capture a Prior off-world to further the research of the antidote. Teal'c tries to stop Garrick, now a Prior, from corrupting the entire Jaffa Council towards Origin. Teal'c ultimately convinces Garrick to switch sides. Garrick cures the SGC of the plague, but it costs him his life. Thanks to Garrick's efforts on Orlin's and Orlin's work, a cure is found for everyone else, but Orlin now has brain damage and no memory of who he is and is put in a mental hospital. Wow. And then, SG-1 encounters the Galarans, a civilization that flourished under the umbrella of the Asgard Protected Planets Treaty after centuries of Ghoul domination. Due to the disengagement of the Asgard from the Milky Way, the Galarans have become concerned for their safety and developed a memory grafting device, which they hope to accelerate their technological development. They are eager to trade this technology with Earth in exchange for hyperdrive technology. After Mitchell's first dose of the memory grafting device, he's accused of murder. Wasn't that just the last episode? Now the rest of the team must ally themselves with local scientists to prove his innocence. Interesting. And then, more than 15 SG-1 teams arrive at Stargate Command, one team at a time, leading the real team to conclude that each of the teams have been inadvertently displaced from different parallel realities. One SG-1 team that arrived has Stargate Command's Dr. Frasier and the Tok'ra leader Martouf as members.
Oh. Man, so that's two for me. Dr. Frasier returns-ish, and there's another planet running the same style SG program.
Okay, man, you are really, you get one of those. It's the parallel realities. They're the same team. They're from Earth. So
yeah, it's not a different planet.
Different reality.
That is a different planet.
No, it's not. It's Earth.
No, it's in a different reality that makes it a different planet.
No,
it's just a different shade of Earth.
It's Earth in a different phase.
No, that's...
It is not in a different physical location. It is in the same physical location. It's just a different reality.
I would argue that that's not how alternate dimensions work.
Do any of us really know how alternate dimensions work, though?
No, yes! No one does.
I mean, no.
I say we shelf this for the time being because you never know. It might be, once we get done with this,
I'm getting my Dr. Frasier return.
Yes.
You're getting that, yeah.
But the point might be moo.
Because we could. You get what I'm talking about. We might run into actual real different SG-1 team for a different planet. Anyway, yeah, Dr. Janet Frasier and the Tok'ra leader Martouf, both of whom have been dead for 2 years in the current reality. The events are ultimately revealed to be a plan by the SG-1 team that arrived first to steal Atlantis's ZPM to save their own Earth, but the real SG-1 foils them and sends everyone home. Do we know what ZPM stands for? Or
nope.
Well, hey guys, let's get weird with it. Just a real quick, let's get weird with it.
Let's get.
What does ZPM stand for? Putting you on the spot. Jafar, go.
Xylophone proximity machine.
Xylophone starts with an X. Jafar, you should know this.
Try again.
It doesn't in this alternate reality.
Fair enough. I was going to say.
It detects xylophones.
I'm going to say it's a zebra pacifying machine. There's a race out there that have armies of enslaved zebras,
and they are the greatest enemy of the Occam and their razors. Because you know the phrase for Occam's razor: if you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras.
Oh, I didn't. That makes sense, but I've never heard that before. But that's perfectly
And I will say the ZPM is the ZZ Top protection module, and it is used to keep the most secure and most or the most important things protected from all of the weird random bullshit. And it's like, okay, this will protect like the information that must be kept safe. So here's my collection of vinyl.
So this ensures that ZZ Top exists in every parallel reality.
Exactly.
I'm down for that. That is fucking
awesome.
I
would put my Beatles vinyl in there if my parents hadn't sold it all.
Well, that's probably for your own good. Sorry, I don't like the Beatles.
I'm sorry you hate fun.
You're allowed to be wrong, yeah.
As I, you know, it's just I don't like them. It's just I had a roommate who played them constantly, so I'm just burnt out by the Beatles. So they can take that Yellow Submarine and shove it up my...
I mean,
you got to buy them dinner first.
Just listening to Yellow Submarine on repeat.
Fair.
Yeah.
I will say my dad always brags about having seen ZZ Top in concert before they had the beards.
That's
a long
impressive.
Time ago. They were opening for somebody else, also famous, if I recall
that's
correctly.
Incredible. Yeah, I saw them back in 1999, I want to say. That was amazing. Love ZZ Top. Stronghold. Ball brainwashes members of the Jaffa High Council to thwart their move towards democracy.
Oh, man, Cameron Ball washed him?
Oh, that one was good. Cameron Mitchell faces a tough decision when he learns that an old friend is about to die. Bummer. And then the Rand Protectorate, they're back, converts to Origin and is rewarded with the design for a powerful satellite weapon, which they threaten to use against the Collodians. Again? Damn. When Prometheus tries to disable the satellite, it destroys the ship.
Yes!
There we go! let me just check that off real quick here. Prometheus blows up. Yes! Oh, that was worth 3 points! Ah! All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, continuing on. They are ultimately able to return to Earth through the planet Stargate, but after doing so, dialogue between Rand and Caledonia breaks down and the two nations annihilate one another.
Oh, damn.
I'm not sure. If Caledonia, is that where Jonas is from? Or is
no.
It might be a different spell.
It is a different place.
Else.
That's
okay.
Kelowna or something.
That's right, yeah. Okay. And then SG-1 is captured on an alien... That could just be it right there. SG-1 is captured. Copy and paste that. Is captured on an alien world after a deal with the Lucian Alliance goes bad, and the planet's Stargate goes missing. SG-1 is rescued by the new Earth ship Odyssey, and they go on a successful mission to retrieve all of the stolen Stargates from Ball. So Ball was just going around stealing Stargates. That's awesome.
Hey, do what you gotta.
And then the Ori have engineered a bioweapon of bugs, gross, known as R-75 or prior bugs. Asexual, fast reproducing, omnivorous insects. When given meat, they multiply rapidly and become voracious swarming predators. I think I've seen this in a movie somewhere.
Sounds like the scarabs from The Mummy.
I was gonna say it sounds like gremlins. Let's see. Oh, and they're able to strip a human to the bone in seconds.
Buy me dinner first. It's a second buy me dinner first joke, but I don't care. They're stripping me to the bone.
Yeah. They prefer darkness and hunt via echolocation. When a group of Earth diplomats visits the off-world Gamma Site research base, R-75 overrun the base and consume most of the base personnel. SG-1 must flee to a research site and set up a message to alert the Odyssey to rescue them when it arrives. The Odyssey rescues SG-1 and the delegates and destroys the bugs with a toxin, but the prior bugs are spreading on other planets. Ooh, scary.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Oh. And then Mitchell and Carter are shifted to another dimension, making them invisible to everyone at the SGC. Teal'c and SG-12 discover that the Sodan have been brutally attacked.
Although here up in the north, we call them the Pop-Dan.
Oh, God. Ben, why are you doing this to us?
This already hurts, Ben. You don't need to make it worse.
Well, you're going down to Atlanta where they call them the Coca-Cola Dan, no matter what flavor they are.
Okay. Yep, it's a Coke.
That's true.
We do that here in Texas too.
Gross.
And then Vala makes contact with Stargate Command from the Ori home galaxy and tells the story of her life undercover in a village of followers building the Ori's invasion fleet and her mysterious pregnancy. She ultimately joins an anti-Ori resistance movement. That's fun to say. Anti-Ori. We are the anti-Ori. The anti-Ori resistance movement with plans to destroy the fleet. But the plan fails, and Vala is nearly killed by her husband, Toman, before she convinces him to spare her and take her with him to war in the Milky Way galaxy. And then we come to our season finale. SG-1 discovers the village of Camelot.
King Arthur came a lot, didn't he?
I think you mean that he's associated with the court of Camelot.
On PX-17 whatever. And must face Merlin's security system when they go in search of an ancient weapon. The Ori invasion begins. A fleet composed of ships from all over the Milky Way, made up of the Earth ships Odyssey and Korolev, along with the ships from the Free Jaffa, Tok'ra, and Lucian Alliance, as well as one Asgard ship, face off against four Ori ships and are decimated.
Decimated. So that means 90% yes, of them survived.
I was about to say this. Yes, I hate the way this term decimated is used because, yes, you're actually right. The Korolev is destroyed with Daniel and Mitchell on board. Vala on another ship.
Daniel dies again.
Yeah. Vala on another ship can only watch the devastation in horror as she goes into labor. Jesus Christ, man. The writers are just like, okay, how can we make this more dramatic?
How can we pump up the jam?
Yeah. All right. Season 9 predictions. What's still on the table?
I've got everything for season 9, so I'm good through the rest of the show.
Okay. I've only got 2 left between 9 and 10, and it's the SG team finds a same but different SG program on another planet, and we never see the Prometheus fire its railgun.
Jafar.
Did we have that confirmed?
I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, we can't trust the lab, so.
Yeah.
Just come on, Universe Destroyer. I'm pretty sure someone told me there's not an It's All a Dream episode, and I can't remember what the ruling was on Teal'c's son betraying him, but
we will do some research once we get through season 10.
Well, I'm currently at 44.
I'm currently at 46.
Oh, it's neck and neck. Ben, save us. Oh, I want to watch Viper.
Okay. We'll get to it when we get to the end. Let's run through season 10.
Whoa. What was that? This sounds like some shenanigans, Ben.
It'll depend on an interpretation.
Well, I still have a bunch of points to research. So
yeah, I can get to 46.
I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 to confirm or deny right now.
Ah, man. Yeah, it's
so.
If I was a Vegas odds are putting Jafar to win this one, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's because he does much easier guesses.
That's a smart way to do it. Yeah.
I should have. If I truly loved Viper as much.
It is not that I do easier guesses, Ben. It's that I'm more tenacious in fighting for my points.
I also just like I pick some weird stuff, like Jonas gets eaten by a whale.
Plato was an alien? Come on.
Fair.
Yeah.
I had Plato as an alien and Jesus was an alien.
And Ben, you do a lot of never happens predictions. Like the team never does this or the show never does that. So those are, I feel like those are kind of easily just.
Yeah. It's hard when it's 10 seasons. Yeah. They do.
That is
We've
very
made
true.
A
yeah.
lot of predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
All right. Let's get through season 10. On.
Season
let's
10.
Season 10. Opener, Flesh and Blood. Following the devastating attack on the Milky Way forces, the Ori leave the scene to begin their holy crusade and purify the galaxy of evil. purify the galaxy, whatever. As the remnants of the makeshift Milky Way fleet come together, Val gives birth to a baby girl, the Ori Seed, genetically altered by the Ori to command their forces. That was a prediction someone had.
So what?
That Vala's baby was going to lead the Ori, right?
No, we knew that.
No, oh, okay. The prediction was the Vala's daughter
betrays them.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
betrays. Okay. She doesn't. Wrong people.
All right, Daniel Jackson has escaped to the Ori flagship, which has just arrived on Shulik to convert the Jaffa into believing in origin. He pretends to be an Ori warrior while he and Vala attempt to kidnap the Ori Sea, who has been named Adira by Vala. An attempt by SG-1 and Braktak to destroy the fleet over Chulak fails, and Braktak sets a collision course with one of the ships in a futile attempt to destroy it while Daniel is captured by Toman, Vala's husband. He escapes and knocks out both Adra and Toman, but is disarmed by a prior and trapped with Vala in a wall of fire with no way out.
So he's captured twice in that episode.
In the nick of time, the Odyssey arrives and beams SG-1 off the ship and Daniel out of the Ori warship. As Daniel beams out, he manages to grab Vala and take her with him, but leave Adira behind. Next up, we have questing for the San Garal. The team ends up in a mess of trouble when they are stuck with a sleeping sickness. Oh, we saw this one.
Yep.
On Vegan Bree, one of the three planets that the weapon is supposed to be on. Da-da-da-da-da. Vala is accepted as a provisional member of SGC. Blah, blah, blah. We've watched this one. After this, we've got the Pegasus Project. SG-1 visits Atlantis with two goals: to find new clues about the location of Merlin's super weapon, the San Garal, and to disable the super gate by connecting it to a black hole in the hope that they can stop the Ori from sending more ships through.
They do Stargate colon pit!
In the biggest possible sense of the term.
Stargate colon pit!
As Dr. Rodney McKay, chief scientist officer on the expedition, assists Sam and Mitchell in their elaborate plan to jump a wormhole by sending a bomb directly through the super gate using the Odyssey, Daniel, Vala, and Dr. Elizabeth Ware, the head of the expedition, search the city's databases for information, eventually confronting the ancient known as Morgan Le Fay. She shows them the address of two planets they must search, but when she tries to tell them something important, she is pulled away by the other agents. At the same time, the Odyssey succeeds in its mission, destroying both a Wraith hive ship and an Ori warship in SGC's biggest victory to date against the Ori. After this, when an Alkesh crashes a few miles away from Cheyenne Mountain, the team finds Baal, and he asks them to capture his rebellious clones. In exchange, he offers information about the whereabouts of Merlin's weapon. As the clones are brought in for questioning, SG-1 must determine which Baal is the real one.
Oh man, that means they gotta go busting balls.
Eventually, the balls take over SGC in order to get SGC's list of Stargate addresses, which includes addresses known only to the ancients, in order to find Merlin's weapon. The balls get the addresses and beam out to a ship in orbit, while SG-1 realized Baal brainwashed Agent Malcolm Barrett into helping him escape.
He got ball washed!
After this, the team discovers several creatures that only appear on worlds where SGC has used the Soden cloaking devices. Things get worse when another creature appears in the woods on Earth, where Mitchell and Landry are spending some quality time, wink wink, at O'Neill's cabin. Coming together, the SG-1 and Landry kill the creature and another one that appears close off the area, even though they're not sure if they got them all. When the creature's dead, the team and Landry relax together at the cabin. Martin Lloyd contacts the SGC. This is 200,
Marty!
We were told of this episode. Looking for assistance in writing a feature movie to follow up Wormhole Extreme, presenting some of the team's most creative fantasies. It also marks Colonel Mitchell's 200th time through Event Horizon and is the 200th episode of the series. In the end, SG-1 go on what is alleged to be a routine mission and are joined by Generals Landry and O'Neill and Sergeant Walter Harriman. While Wormhole Extreme, the movie, is canceled, the series is renewed and survives 10 more years.
Yay!
After this, deadly battles erupt between the Ori, led by Adria, and the Jaffa, after 100,000 villagers are wiped out by a powerful energy wave, which Adira believes was SG-1's doing. She captures Daniel and Vala and uses her powers against them to determine the nature of the weapon. Learning about the Dakara super weapon, she heads there to destroy it. SG-1 are rescued by the Odyssey, but Dakara and its weapon are destroyed, fracturing the Free Jaffa Nation. After this, during a dinner out, Vala is captured by the Gould Athena, who attempts to pry memories out of Vala's subconscious during her time as a host. When things go wrong, Vala develops amnesia, runs away, and must piece back together when she's working as a waitress. SG-1 eventually catches up to her. She tries to run again, but Daniel manages to get her to remember him at least. She returns to SGC, where she recovers her entire memory and finally achieves her dream of becoming a fully-fledged member of SG-1. After this, the Odyssey is attacked and hijacked by the Lucian Alliance. Mitchell must infiltrate the organization to save his friends from being caught in the crossfire in the deadly Lucian Civil War, but the situation may go quickly awry. Eventually, Vala and Daniel manage to retake the Odyssey, and thanks to Mitchell's efforts, are able to get through with enough time to repair the hyperdrive and escape after beaming Mitchell and Teal'c aboard. Earth is now officially at war with the Lucian Alliance, but the mission is overwhelmed by the murder of Colonel Paul Emerson. After this, following a dream Vala has, SG-1 searches a planet whose address is made up of three addresses that Arthur and his knights search for Merlin's weapon. On the planet, they discover Ball is also there and forced to work with him, and Adira locates the weapon, with each group having different objectives. Together, the group must pass a series of tests left by Morgan Le Fay, but are confronted by a dragon.
Yep, there's the fucking dragon episode.
Next one is part two. After defeating the dragon, SG-1 and Ball are transported to a series of planets where they discover a laboratory and Merlin in stasis.
Wait, are you saying we had Dragon Balls?
Oh my god, we did have Dragon Ball.
Realizing that the anti-Ori weapon has been destroyed, but that Merlin can rebuild it, the team awakens him and he agrees to build a new weapon, but dies before he can finish. Daniel downloads
if I had a
Merlin's
nickel,
consciousness.
Every time I died before I could finish.
Daniel downloads Merlin's consciousness and continues building the weapon while Carter and Baal work on fixing the Stargate so they can escape. Before Daniel can finish the weapon, Adira, who was left behind, arrives with her forces to stop them. Daniel takes out the soldiers with Merlin's powers and holds off Adira so the rest of SG-1 can escape, but Daniel is captured by Adira and Ball is killed. After that,
dragon,
in an attempt to utilize Merlin's fate... Yes, they killed the Dragon Ball. You can't collect them all anymore, sorry. After this, in an attempt to utilize Merlin's phase-shifting technology, SG-1 answers the cry of a village pressured by Origin, and they attempt to phase-shift the entire area. The plan appears to be successful until the device fails and the Ori forces begin their onslaught. Meanwhile, Toman, ordered to convert Vala to Origin, begins to question his faith in the religion when his views on the Ori's teachings clash with those of the prior leading the assault, who's using the teachings to justify his actions. In the end, Mitchell and a seriously injured Carter manage to bring an entire village out of phase using the source of an Ori staff weapon, making it seem like the Ori have destroyed it. Toman helps Vala escape, even though he knows it may cost him his life. After this, Carter experiments with Arthur's mantle even further, but her studies sent her to an alternate universe where the Ori are only hours away from obliterating the planet, and the Stargate program has been made public, resulting in martial law being spread across the United States. In order to return home, Carter must help, but when things finally seem going her way, President Landry won't allow Carter to return. Carter succeeds in saving the alternate Earth by shifting it out of phase and eventually convinces Landry to let her go home by telling him about his counterpart from her world. Carter returns after 2 weeks' absence with the help of Rodney McKay and is amused to discover that her team has spent that time in an empty room.
What?
And it has been talking to an empty room. However, there is still no sign of Daniel. After this, the SG-1 team discovers a village tempted by Origin without any threats of destruction. They're in for a huge shock when they find out that their own teammate, Daniel Jackson, has been turned into a prior of the Ori. The team captures Daniel, who reveals he and Merlin have been plotting the destruction of the Ori, and he needs their help to finish. The team and O'Neill are skeptical of Daniel's plan, calls for reopening the Super Gate, which will let through more Ori ships, but decide to do the plan themselves while Daniel's put into stasis. Frustrated, Daniel breaks free, hijacks the Odyssey, kidnaps O'Neill. Daniel and O'Neill arrive to find that Adira and her forces have captured SG-1, but Daniel is able to overpower Adira. With Daniel in command of the Ori ship, O'Neill shuts down the supergate, and Daniel flies the ship through as Vala finishes and activates Merlin's weapon. At the last moment, O'Neill beams the team off the ship, but Adira is left behind. Due to Merlin's modifications to his body, Daniel reverts to his normal self with Merlin gone as well, but it's unclear if the Ori are dead or not. Also, 6 new Ori warships have come through the reopened supergate. After this, after SG-1 destroys a Lucian Alliance shipment of Casa, a crop containing a highly addictive stimulant, near the planet Roland.
The problem is the first one is always free, because Mikasa is Tsukasa.
Ben, stop! That one wasn't that bad, though.
That one wasn't that bad. Meanwhile, Mitchell returns to his hometown for a high school reunion, accompanied by Vala, and bounty hunters hot on the trail. SG-1 managed to dispatch most of the bounty hunters and convince the last to go after Neaton, the leader of the Lucian Alliance, and apparently kills him. After this, searching for great treasure, the team goes to a planet where they discover the DHD is a prop in an exhibit. In turn, when they ask for help, they appear to have come out of nowhere. Now SG-1 is mistaken for hostage-taking rebels, and they are forced to play the part in order to survive. Things degenerate as the team tries to hold off authorities long enough for Stargate Command to make contact and send them a power source capable of dialing the Stargate. But Vala discovers an Aquata bomb, which she uses to power the Stargate. As the team tries to return to Earth, they are apprehended by the authorities, but Mitchell is able to convince them to let SG-1 go. However, the people of the planet bury the Stargate afterwards. Yeah. All right. After that, a former foe of Teok's has turned to the Way of Origin and bombed a Jaffa summit on a Jaffa world named Dar Eshkanan, attempting to rekindle the council. The aftermath appears to have killed many Jaffa, and leaves Braktak hanging onto his life. Enraged at what has happened and seeking revenge, Teok now decides to go on a single-minded quest, and it seems that not even SG-1's actions can stop him from achieving his goal. Teok ultimately tracks down his old foe and finally kills him, despite being seriously injured in the process.
Hopefully getting wounded this time did not hurt his self-confidence.
Jalik makes a deal with SGC for Sanctuary in exchange for helping stop an attack on Earth. As Jakic attempts to repair his relationship with Vala, General Laundry is inspired to reach out to his daughter, Dr. Nam, and his ex-wife. With this information, SG-1 and the Odyssey are able to track down and destroy a fleet of ships poised to bomb Earth, but discover Jacek double-dealing to steal Nequata on one of the ships that's already there. SG-1 outcon him and captures the ship while he flees in a fake and peddles off styrofoam peanuts left on the ship.
What? It does not actually say that. It says styrofoam
peanuts. Sure does.
Oh my God.
It specifies styrofoam peanuts. All right. 2 episodes left to season 10. In the penultimate episode, in an attempt to capture Adira, the team uses Vala as bait, only to have Ball beam down the Orisi away, or I see away in SG-1's time of victory. When they track down the parasite, they discover Ball wants to end the reign of the Ori just as much as SGC, and he's taken a drastic course of action to do it, implanting Adira with one of his cloned symbiotes. The symbiote is ultimately removed and eventually killed, but Ball fatally poisons Adira beforehand. In order to survive, she ascends.
Ah, so, okay. That explains the weird, the breakdown Vala had in the episode that we watched.
Yeah,
because because her daughter died and ascended just the episode just before that one. So, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that is exactly
finally getting some context.
Yeah, without context, that one's right, and the hard one.
Well, that's what we do here.
Yep. And the last episode, which we watched. So you can just listen to that episode. I'm not going to read it. It's a time loop.
Time bubble.
There's a bunch of stuff.
It's not a loop. It's a bubble. They don't do the same thing over and over again.
That's correct.
It's a time bubble.
We already did that in a previous season.
Speaking of time loops, here, we have been joined by the gatekeeper once again. Angela, welcome back.
I am Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. Volcus Sildraw, our Lord of the Sebulia. Are you the gatekeeper?
All right.
Well,
we just finished season 10. All right. And we've got some questions for you.
Well, we have questions. Okay.
So we need some confirmation for some points here.
All right.
Do you want guys want me to go first or do you want me to go last? Because I think I'm in the lead right now.
You'll go last. Okay, you go last. Yep.
So the one I have a question about is it's going to be on a technicality because I kind of looked it up. I had a guess that Cassie Frazier goes on a mission. And we know that, so I looked it up. She doesn't, like, our prime timeline Cassie doesn't. But at one point they go into the future where Cassie tells them, oh, hey, I knew this was all going to happen and I can help you guys get back. So does that count as Cassie being involved on a mission?
No.
Okay.
So right. Cassie never becomes a. She never becomes like a SG member.
No.
No. We see.
I knew
her
that,
two,
but.
Oh, we see her in two episodes, and that's it.
The one where we introduce her as a child, and then the one later on, where she starts going through her various changes and things, and they talk about her quite often, but we never see her more than those two times.
Well, okay, because it does say that in when they travel back forward from 1969, they find themselves in the future, and old Cassie talks to them about what was going on, and she sends them back to 1999.
Okay, I'll take it back. That's three episodes. I forgot about that moment. Okay. I'm not.
So does that count on her? She's on a mission? she's there. Well, they're on a mission. No, it's fine. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was it for me.
That was it?
Yeah. That I forgot about that episode, so that might actually count. She's been
waiting
years.
I'm going to count it.
Yeah. She's been waiting years.
Yay.
Okay. I won't fight you on this.
All right. It doesn't matter. You're still going to win. But
what does that put you at?
That puts me at a final total of 46 points for us and for Viper.
For Viper.
Ties me for where I'm at currently, and I have a bunch of stuff I need confirmed.
Oof. All right, Vic, do you have any?
I only have three left. Okay, so, Angela, I have three questions for you.
Okay.
Question number one. Does Teal'c's son ever betray him?
Not directly. He gets...
How indirectly?
Yes.
He gets brainwashed by Apophis.
He gets brainwashed by Apophis?
Yeah, so it's not a betrayal. It's a uncontrollable.
I think that counts.
I think it counts.
I think that counts.
That's arguable, but he doesn't want, like I said, he doesn't directly betray him, but he does get brainwashed and tries to.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm counting it. I'll give it to you.
Teal'c has to suffer the emotional anguish of betrayal, even if it wasn't his son's direct goal. So I'd say
yes.
Still counts. Yes, awesome. All right. So that is 2 points. 2 points for me now. Oh, God. That brings me up to 46 as well. All three of us are currently at 46. Three-way tie. All right. Here we go. And did I really make the... Yeah. God, I was stupid. I made this a one-point prediction. Okay. So, Angela.
If it's an easy one, they're supposed to be 1 point.
Yeah, well, it's stupid because I should have made it bigger because it's my prediction that there's a universe destroyer weapon. Like, we've seen planet destroyers. We've seen star destroyers. Do we ever get a universe destroyer? We do?
Not quite, but we do get a destroyer that will destroy an entire species.
There's more than one species in the universe.
Unless you count the descended beings to make it happen, but that's not a weapon.
Unless you count a what? Sorry.
If enough ascended beings got together, they could probably destroy a universe. But that would be.
But it's never directly mentioned.
Well, it's the universe, not a universe. There's one.
But no, I said it's a universe destroyer. There is a universe destroyer.
It's not a universe, it's the collection of galaxies. It's another two jumps in the scale.
Not even a galaxy destroyer that I remember.
Okay. We don't even get a galaxy destroyer?
It might be something in one of the other two.
All right, so I'll make that a no. All right. And my final, I think we already confirmed this. Is there ever an episode where it turns out it was all a dream? Like it was just a dream someone was having?
I can think of one or two that come really damn close to counting. There is one time Teal'c gets brainwashed by Apophis using the same method that he used on his son's name. I'm blanking on the kid's name right now.
Oh, yeah.
But he uses the same method, and Braytac has to come in and try to save him, which means removing his symbiote. And then he's going through tons and tons of hallucinations, wakes up, okay, it wasn't real.
Okay. Yeah, no, no, no. I was going to say my intention behind this one, my intention behind this prediction was we as the audience see a bunch of shit happen, and then like at least three quarters of the way through the episode, the character wakes up. And then we get the rug pulled.
Well, there are some that you could almost count, but
the clip show doesn't count.
Yeah, there's one where they get pulled into these machines by this one gentleman. And basically everything they're seeing is imagined, but they feel like it's real until they're taken back into some of their own memories and are like,
Are they unaware what they're viewing is imagined?
At first, yeah.
Well, more importantly, do we as the audience know? Do we know they're in the machines?
Yeah, we do see them get sucked into the machines by the dude.
Okay.
Well, that's fair enough. I will
going to sleep and waking up from a dream that I can think of. But if I come across one, we can amend the points another time. But I don't think so. Yeah, that machine one. The game is what it's called. And that's the closest I can think of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that brings me to my grand total of 46.
All right. So, we are tied.
I need literally any of my 10 something, 8 remaining predictions, and I win the season. So, is there an episode of zombies?
Not real zombies.
How zombie-esque are we talking?
So, I believe y'all saw one of the episodes with Martin Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The first one where he had three episodes.
Yeah.
Episode 100.
Amnesia. Yeah.
So episode 100, they bring him back and he's making a TV show where he drugged himself so he could forget. And he's making a TV show that is called Wormhole Extreme, which is basically
NPC. Yeah.
Episode 200, later on, brings him back and he's making a movie. And they're all sitting there around the conference room table at the SGC trying to come up with ideas for the movie. And one of them is zombies.
Okay, but that's not real zombies.
They don't fight zombies.
No.
Okay, how about vampires?
Vampire bugs count?
No.
No.
The vampire bugs are that they drink blood and make other people their thing, then yes.
Well, they don't drink blood, but they did sting them and tried to turn Teal'c into more bugs.
No, vampires don't sting. Vampires do not sting. They don't have stingers.
Is there any episode that mentions the Loch Ness Monster?
I confirmed this.
We know that's not it.
Okay. Yeah. We've confirmed no Gundams, right? No giant robots fighting robots? None of these gold things are giant fighting robots?
The replicators, kind of.
Do the replicators have giant fighting robots?
giant is important. Like, they have to be multi-story tall.
Yeah, at least 20 feet tall.
No, they never fight each other. They make a couple of them that are basically just ships made out of replicators. No, that one's enough.
Do they have legs? Do these giant ships have legs?
No.
Did appear to have legs before, more like landing gear? Rather than actual legs. When it was flying, it didn't have them.
Okay, is there a boxing episode?
Like actual punching boxing?
Yeah, do they box? Yeah, just
with gloves and where they're. What? Yeah, there's a couple that involve boxing, but it's like in the gym at the SDC.
So yep. That's just, but the point of the episode doesn't involve a boxing match like the episode of Voyager where Chakotay has to have the boxing match. Or
okay, are there actual boxing gloves? Do we see our SG members wearing boxing gloves? We do.
Yes, there's an episode where Vanessa Angel actually makes an appearance, which was really cool.
Vanessa Angel.
Yeah, she played Lisa on the Weird Science TV show.
Oh.
Oh
God, I'm a dork.
There was a Weird Science TV show?
Yes, there was. Yes, there was. She brings this device to the SGC that I was supposed to give the wearer great strength and speed and intelligence and basically enhance all of your natural abilities. They don't work on any
boxing.
Huh? Yeah, so they
test don't it out.
They not test it out, but O'Neill's like, I don't feel anything. Nothing's happening to me because it only works on humans. Anybody that doesn't have a symbiote. It works on Sam, even though she used to have one. But they're Teal'c and O'Neill are down in the gym and they're boxing. He's like, I don't feel anything. And Teal'c's like, no, you're boxing with great speed and proficiency today. And then all of a sudden, O'Neill's like moving so fast, Teal'c can't see him. And then O'Neill punches Teal'c out.
Okay.
But that counts. No. That is, no, boxing is part of an episode. It is not the crux of the episode.
Man, if I got points for the basketball episode and it was only in the opening, then it's only fair that Jafar gets points for this.
Then I'm going to say you guys both lose points.
Ben, why did I give you that one? I seated so easily hoping for some reciprocation. I should have known you don't reciprocate.
Well, I had a prediction that there was a basketball episode. Say again, what?
Huh.
All right. I got two more. This might be a moot point.
All right.
Does the SGT ever find another Stargate program on another planet that's operates similar to theirs?
Not counting other dimensions.
Well, they find other people that use the Stargate, but not a military-based program like theirs. No.
Okay, mine is same, but different. So if it's not military, but it's like groups of small, like teams of four going to other planets and investigating things,
no.
That would be the different, is it's not military. No. Okay, no?
There are other.
Did we ever see the Prometheus fire its railgun?
Did we what? I missed the second half.
Did we ever see the Prometheus fire its railgun?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Is it actually a railgun? Or is it that laser thing we see? Because that would be both Vic and I were very disappointed about the railgun not actually being a railgun.
They do use it or try to use it a couple of times. It's ineffective. Yeah.
But we actually see it fire, though?
I'm pretty sure they actually use it once. Yeah. Okay. I'd have to verify whether we see it on screen or not, but I'm almost positive they used it a couple of times.
All right, let's just hang on.
I
got Prime Video up on my phone right now. I'm what's let me find. Actually, you know what? Let me just. People clip YouTube shit all the
there's
time.
There's a Stargate specific Wikipedia site that helps you.
And
find
it's got
all
pictures of it shooting.
SG-1.
Okay.
Prometheus. Space battle.
The Odyssey railguns firing at Luke and Alliance. Yep.
Oh, no, the Odyssey is a different ship.
Yeah.
I specified the Prometheus.
I don't think, but the Prometheus.
It was before the Prometheus blew up.
Yeah. Yeah, we might not have seen the Prometheus do it, but the Odyssey would have. The O'Neill would have.
I found a YouTube clip that's specifically Prometheus space battles.
Okay.
This is like a clip show of all the Prometheus space battles. So we're watching it. Just engaged its engines. It's over a gas giant. It's headed towards something. Oh, it's landing on the gas giant. I don't see how that's possible, but okay. Now it's engaged its engines again. It's in hyperspace. What the hell? This was called space battles. This is just the ship flying around.
maybe that's the point.
They're just a big taxi? What the hell?
I've got Wi-Fi
it's getting
turned
shot
off.
At. Oh, fuck. Okay. Fuck. I don't know what those things are, but they're definitely guns shooting out of it.
If the guns are just rail guns.
Yeah, let me find that Wikipedia site.
Well, they look like tracer rounds from machine guns, so that's something. I mean,
okay.
Okay, hang on. I can solve this real quick. Real quick. Just let me go to...
I'm willing to cede the point if the little fiery things are rail guns.
Hang on.
I was
that's
the
what
impression
it looks like in
gun...
the picture on the wiki.
Yeah, I'm looking at the wiki right now, and it says it has 24 rail guns. And I was under the impression that the railgun was like a big, like you know, the future Enterprise and the
when it has the thing under the dish.
Yeah,
yeah.
That I was expecting one of those guys.
It counts. It counts because it was firing guns that were like okay. rapid fire, like machine guns. But we have seen railguns depicted like that in other sci-fi movies.
Like in Eraser, where Arnold Schwarzenegger is firing a railgun in each hand.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the wiki. Yeah, 24 railguns, 12 missile tubes, and nuclear missiles. So,
all right,
you went too far. No,
Dan has managed to. No, no. I said never see it fire its railgun.
What? Oh! the game is still on.
Okay. Well. What we're missing here is that O'Neill taught Teal'c how to box.
What? Oh, right. You're
over okay. in season two.
What was the question?
What?
So Jafar's still trying to get his boxing episode.
I know. I figured that.
A quick scan of the how many times is boxing brought up in this episode?
Where's my points? Okay, I'm looking at my points for my basketball episode.
Okay, looks like it's just a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
Maybe a B plot where O'Neill teaches Teal'c to box in the episode The Fifth Race.
Okay, well here's the thing. If you are not counting points for your boxing episode, then I must cede my 1 point for a basketball episode. So
which drops you down to 45. I'm still at 46, though.
How is that possible? Well, whatever. Okay.
Do you? I mean,
no. You're the math wizard.
Excel is doing the math.
I trust your math, man. You are the math man.
I'm not sitting here manually adding all this. I just have put in where I get the points, and Excel is telling me. I'm at 46.
Oh, I'm manually doing all the math.
You want to give me a quick recount, Ben?
Yeah. Sorry, Miles started 46. To style. Right while y'all were going.
46. So
just add up all your points again, Ben. Just make sure you did the math right.
I did it.
That's all I'm asking. I want you to redo it though.
Fine.
Just humor me.
So
it can't hurt. So yeah, redo your math. What did my grandmother used to say?
Yeah.
Measure it twice. Eight.
And we're sure Plato wasn't an alien.
Are we sure they never rode horses?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Are we sure the president of the United States was never a ghoul?
Well.
All right.
Yes and no, but no. Kenzie does end up getting taken over by Gold, but he was only president in a future Flash episode. He was never actually president when he was taken over. So, kind of, no.
Did you miss some, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, see, this is why we recount.
Well no, but I think I
never
included
argue
it.
With me again.
I included it in my final. I just didn't include it on my math the way there. Because that puts me at...
I'm currently looking through the Stargate fandom wiki under the motorcycle entry.
Stargate fandom wiki.
If there's any mention of Teal'c.
Trying to verify. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I will humbly.
I just added the points at the end.
And
okay.
And so 46 no is my total.
Damn. Of course. Okay, sure. Carter rides a motorcycle. What the hell?
Well, yeah. She works on them and loves them and loves to. Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn.
Okay.
Looking at some replicators here.
Are you trying to see if it counts as a Gundam?
Okay. I'm trying to solve this without having to resort to the coin, but I think we might be resorting to the coin.
No, if there's
Ben and
okay.
I are tied at 46.
I'm just gonna say I was fine counting the basketball episode opening as a basketball episode. If there's an episode where O'Neal teaches Teal'c boxing, it's a boxing episode.
He is teaching
47.
What? Oh, you won by 47.
I win by a point from the boxing episode.
It has nothing to do with O'Neal getting taken over by advanced alien information, but he is teaching Teal'c about boxing.
He's teaching Teal'c about boxing.
And,
all right.
And wait, Ben, you're sure your total is 46?
Yeah.
All right, congratulations.
All right. Well, I will get to choose the next show that we butcher our way through. But I don't have to do that until one more episode, because we're going to go back and watch a single episode of Stargate now that we have the context of 3.5 hours of reading Stargate wikis. And all of Angela's lovely insight. Thank you so much.
You already know what
episode
you're going to watch. Do I get to pick it for you?
Well, I have... This is the episode where we decide what is our go-back episode.
Wow.
And I went ahead and looked up what is the highest rated episode according to IMDb. And let me pull it up. And you can just tell us whether you agree or not, I guess. And we'll just go from there. Hang on. Let me
highest
find
rated
it.
Doesn't always mean worth watching.
Yeah. Crap. Hang on 1 second. Let me Google. I'll edit this part out.
If you could hurry, I've had to pee for the last hour.
Sorry.
Always pee before recording.
I did.
That's a rookie
it's
mistake.
Been 2.5 hours, Jafar.
I am so sorry.
Well, according to IMDb, the highest rated episode is season 4, episode 6, Window of Opportunity, with a 9.5.
Really?
That's pretty high.
Window of Opportunity. Which one is that one?
It's a time loop.
It's a time loop episode.
That is a genuine time loop. That is a Groundhog Day one, and I think they make a Groundhog Day joke.
I am 100% down with watching that, guys.
That is iconic. That is my favorite. That is my go-to. That is, I feel like crap. And there are about 3 things I will watch to bring myself out of it. Mission to Mars, the time loop episode. I don't understand the Mission to Mars either every now and again, but I'm like, I want to watch it because it makes me happy. But time loop
episode. The Mission to Mars, the movie. That movie was depressing as fuck.
It brings me out of my own funk. I don't know why, but I love Gary Sinise, so that's probably why. It's not the movie, it's him.
Okay.
Caveman.
Caveman?
The Ringo Starr film.
Dear Sally, in response to your letter of December the 12th, 1966, me favorite color is blue, and me real first name is Richard. Thanks for the snapshot. You're a real cute bird. Love, Ringo. P.S. Forgive the lateness of my reply.
The Ringo Starr movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Both stupid and wonderful, but mostly stupid. Yeah, awesome. But of all things, that time loop episode, Window of Opportunity, is one of the best. And it is where they actually introduce an ongoing theme for the series about how black holes can interfere with shit.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right.
Cool.
And
awesome.
Vic, what is the episode? It is season 4, episode what?
Season 4, episode 6.
Episode 6.
Window of Opportunity.
And we'll be back with that next week.
And once you watch it,
so
you
it's
will understand.
Time to...
Yeah. Once you watch it, you'll understand the title of a cookbook they came up with, that fans came up with about the series called No More Fruit Loops, Please.
All right. I'm looking at it.
It starts out with them eating breakfast.
I'm looking forward to this. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, that about wraps it up. For the sake of Ben's bladder, let's go ahead and wrap this up here.
Say our thank yous. Thank you, Ripe, for letting us use Goon Squad as our theme music. We appreciate it. Love the tune. Thank you so much.
And to the Dominion Media Research Lab, I'd just like to say thank you for nothing.
Yeah.
but thank you all for your participation. And once again, thank you for being our guest star, Angela the Gatekeeper. Yeah. Angela, let everyone know where they can find you out at the medieval fair, correct? And not a Renaissance fair. It's a medieval fair.
Yes. So the only difference between one is about 300 years, but it is Sherwood Forest Fair outside of Bastrop, Texas, which is near Austin. I will be outside the front opening gates and throughout the fair at various places. So yeah, just look for me. If you don't know my face, look or listen to or look for the Contessa Amalia, my stage name.
That's cool.
But if you're there looking for gatekeeper, just at the front gate, I'm looking for the gatekeeper, and I'll probably hear it, and a whole bunch of people are going to laugh because all of us out there are geeks.
But, yes.
That's my weekend job. Thank you very much for my weekend job. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank y'all for involving me. I was happy to do it.
Yeah. And thank you to Annette Lucina for your photograph of a TV that we have turned into our podcast artwork. Thank you for making free art so we can make free art. And we will see you all next time on Last Time On. Hey, hey, hey. All the